She Did It Her Way podcast, episode 276, Overcoming Fear and Making the Big Leap with Natanya Bravo.
Hello and welcome to She Did It Her Way, a podcast dedicated to helping you launch a business that allows you the freedom to create from anywhere, design your own schedule in a way that supports you, and pursue what it is that lights you up. I'm Amanda Bolin, your host, and it is time to do it your way.
Have you ever thought about leaving everything behind and start a new life? I know I have, especially in the previous years. It's a little bit different, I think, now that I'm married, but I know I definitely had those thoughts. I'm sure you guys do too. And not just a new career, but to live in a different place where you're currently at, somewhere different than where you're currently at. And a big risk, most of us might say, but today our guest is here to share with us about that experience of picking up her life and moving to a completely different country. And in this episode, our guest, Natanya Bravo, is here to tell us that journey, what it was like when she finally decided to take the leap. She was born in London, and having lived in three countries by the age of six, Natanya's love affair with travel was instilled from birth. She spent the first part of her career living bicoastal between New York and Los Angeles while leading an international brand marketing and event campaign in the entertainment industry. She's no stranger to being on a plane weekly for work and personal trips around the world. Of the over 100 cities Natanya has visited to date, Paris was the number one that captured her heart. In February 2018, Natanya listened to that internal voice and leaped into the unknown. Leaving behind her successful six-figure career, she booked a one-way ticket to Paris to live her best life, crafted through the lens of travel, her own journey of personal development and real-life experiences. She created the Bravo Life to inspire women around the world to realize and actualize their full potential while living their best lives as their best self. So in this episode, we hear about Natanya's interesting background story, understand why and exactly she left corporate job to start on her own, know when to make that shift in your own current situation, when to make those mini or large big leaps, and learn more about the importance of taking a break, whether you are in a full-time job or even running your own business, and why it is important. All right. Well, Natanya, I'm so excited to have you on the show today. And in this podcast interview, have you share your journey of leaving corporate America, six-figure income, an unlimited expense account, and really walking us through and telling the story about how you decided to go off and do it your own way. And you're still fresh. You're 6 months into this world of entrepreneurship. And I thought it'd be a great opportunity for you to come on and share with my listeners the whole entire phase of what I like to call the lead up, and having, you know, what did you go through? What were your thoughts? How did you plan? What was the straw that broke the camel's back, and dive into it? So I'm going to stop talking and I'm going to turn it over to you and have you share with my listeners a little bit about where you're at now, about you, and then we'll talk about your journey and how you decided to make the decision to leave corporate.
Yeah. So where I'm at now, I currently live in Paris. I'm actually on a 30-day tour for my 30th birthday. So I'm in Spain as I'm talking to you right now. Really exciting. I'm visiting seven different countries. But I left corporate America. It was living bicoastally between New York and LA about 6 months ago, and decided to move to Paris and fulfill a lifelong dream and branch out on my own and start a business that I dreamed about back in college and kind of had forgotten about for a little bit.
I mean, I just right there, I'm like, can I come? I'm going to do that. Yes. No, it sounds amazing. Okay. So let's dive deeper. What were you doing in corporate America? And let's talk about when you started getting this itch and you knew that it was time to leave. Take us back to that moment.
Yeah, so I graduated a year early from, I was always overachiever, graduated a year early from college, didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do, but had this idea of, I don't know if you watched The Hills on MTV when you were younger,
yes.
But I was like, I don't know what they do, but I want to do that. And I want to be like a publicist or some type of marketing in the entertainment and fashion industry and travel and go to cool parties. So I had done some internships in college, got a job opportunity in New York, after a lot of not having a job in New York, which is not so fun, and moved up really quickly. So by the time I was 25, I had a team of 10 people who were all significantly older than me. It was great. I was on a plane every week. I was living what I thought was like my dream career for the rest of my life. And at the time, it definitely was my dream. And I left that company when I was about 26, moved to another company, and was continuing doing the same thing, moved up again, eventually was promoted to be vice president of that department. Was managing another team, traveling even more, if you can believe that.
My goodness.
So I was on a plane probably once every 3 days. I literally kept my suitcase by my door. Again, a very fun job. You know, we worked with different brands during Grammys, Oscars, Coachella. I did celebrity partnerships. I got to be hands-on a lot of cool, fun, interesting things, and I do not regret it at all. But there just came a point when I realized I can keep on this path. And I also looked at my boss and I thought, do I want to be her? And I realized deep and down that I didn't. And I was like, okay, so what are you going to do now? And I always said, one day I'm going to move to Paris. And so last year I was on a solo trip around Europe and said to a friend before I was leaving, she was like, is there something that no one knows about you? Like something you've always dreamed of doing. And I was literally afraid to say it out loud, but I was like, I've always dreamed of moving to Paris. And she was like, well, aren't you going next week? I was like, yeah, but that's just like a vacation trip. She was like, well, why don't you go with the mindset of what if I lived here? And that was in July of last year. So I went and walked around and pretended that I lived in Paris, which was fun for a few days. But I was like, I can't quit my job and move to Paris. Like, I have a good job. I make good money. All of my friends are like, you have this such glamorous job. I'm sure they also liked it because they got plus ones to parties, which is always fun.
You can't leave that job. We want to go to these parties.
Exactly. But I was also working 80 hours a week. So my social life and my work life were basically one and the same. I didn't really have an off time. I did get to travel a lot, but it wasn't like I was like sitting on the beach drinking a pina colada. I was usually running through an airport with a laptop in one hand. I had three phones, two work phones and a personal phone.
Oh my gosh.
So usually was on one phone, typing an email on another phone, trying to get off one conference call to get onto another conference call. And I would probably do that 12 to 15 hours a day, which is not really the way to live. Now that I'm out of it, I can see that I was working like a crazy person. And I think a lot of it is this idea. I see it a lot in America, but I think there's other parts of the world too, that being busy means that you're successful. And I had to untrain my mind from that. But at the time I was like, no, I can't leave. Like, yes, I had this amazing time in Paris, and yes, that's like my lifelong dream, but there's no way I can like leave this job. I'm up for another promotion. I have this huge project coming up at my job. They would like die if I leave. And really, I believe that once you take a little first step, the universe just kind of forces you to do something.
Yes. And you can't get it out of your mind, and it is taunting you.
Yeah. So I just let it sit for a bit. I started just putting money aside. I called it my Paris fund, but I didn't really believe that I was going to do it. I was just like, I'm just going to put money just in case. Worst case, I've got a little nest fund saved, but maybe there's some slight 1% chance that I'll actually move to Paris. A few months went by, and long story short, some changes in my job and my personal life, it just got to a point where before I was comfortable. So it's hard to leave when you're comfortable. I became uncomfortable to the point where I have to leave now.
The job change that made you uncomfortable, or was it an internal, I'm at a point I'm uncomfortable?
I think it was both. I think I became uncomfortable internally, and that probably reflected in my work, which then came back to me tenfold within the business things that were changing around me. But it probably was my shift that was the catalyst towards everything else, now that I look at it being out of it. But there was definitely some changes at work that I was just like, you know, this isn't working for me. And I just realized I'm really not happy, and I can't stay in a job and in a field because everyone else thinks that it's a good job. At the end of the day, this is my life. I have to live this life. I have to be happy with this life. And I also realized, even though I was terrified, I can always come back. You know, I can always come back and get a different job. I can always pick up, pack my stuff, take two suitcases and get on a plane and move to Paris. You know, the other part of it was, I'm not married. I'm single. I don't have kids, so I can move around a little easier. When in my life am I going to be able to do this again? And I'm saying that as if it was really, really easy. It was not. I definitely had numerous meltdowns, plenty of phone calls with friends like, no, I can't do it. Yes, I can. No, I can't do it. Yes, I can. Talking to my mom about it. Like, what am I going to do? Because I had in my mind, okay, I'll save for a year, then I'll go. But I something in my intuition knew there's no way that you're staying here a year. You are going to be leaving before a year. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know how you're going to afford to do it, but there's no way you're staying here for a year. I went on vacation with my mom in November, and I still in November did not know that I was going to move to Paris in March. We were on vacation, and on that vacation, the owner of the company that I worked for called me and just wanted to check in on me. And this is why I say I think something in me had shifted to where people could sense that I was no longer comfortable where I was. And I was like, you know what? She's called me. Like, this is my chance. I have to just rip the Band-Aid off. So I literally gave my notice that. I had no plan. I didn't know what I was going to do.
Oh, my gosh.
I was just like in Cape Town on vacation. And I said, yeah, I'm leaving. I'm moving to Paris. And I don't know when I'm moving to Paris. You know, I just want to give you a heads up that this is happening, but it's definitely going to be in the next few months. And luckily, she's super supportive of me. Obviously, sad to see me go, but it was like as soon as I said the words, an immediate release of just, oh. And that's really when you know you've made the right decision. Because before it, I couldn't sleep. I was tossing and turning. Like, what am I going to do? How am I going to say this? I'm no longer happy in this position. I felt ungrateful because I've amassed on paper what looks like successful things in terms of the amount of money in your bank account, the type of car that you drive, the type of house that you live in. But I was not happy. And I knew that I wasn't happy. I was happier being on a park bench in Paris than I was living the life that I was living in America. And that was when I knew, okay, it's definitely time to go. And thankfully, they were super supportive and I was able to have a transition period, which also gave me more time to figure out, okay, you just said you're moving to Paris. How is that actually happening?
Yeah.
And slowly transition out. So I took kind of the next 3-4 months to just, okay, you did it. I mean, I still was terrified. And I get a lot of people that reach out and say, you're so brave. And I'm like, no, I'm actually still scared every single day.
Yeah.
Just do it scared, because the risk to me, the reward is greater than whatever the risk is. So no, I don't like to pretend like it was this easy decision where I was just like, oh, I'm going to pick up and leave my job and move to Paris. And I don't like to pretend that it's even easy now, but I am so happy that I made the decision. I don't think it's something that I will ever regret. And at the end of the day, if it didn't work out, I knew that I could always go back. So
yeah. Well, I appreciate your vulnerability and authenticity to say, hey, I'm still figuring this out. And it's still every day there's a little bit of fear and scaredness that happens. And it doesn't just automatically flip a switch and say, okay, now that I leaped, everything's perfect. It's still figuring it out, right? How did you, okay, take us back. So you talked to your boss, you said, I'm leaving. What were things that you knew you had to get in place for yourself to be comfortable and to really plan, okay, I'm moving to Paris. How do I afford this? Am I living off of what I've saved? But what's the plan to make money when I do? I mean, how did you plan it?
Yeah. So kind of unrelated but related story. I, in my teenage and kind of young adolescent years, was somewhat of over-perfectionist, really hard on myself, and went through bouts of depression and anxiety attacks, and found a lot of healing and just self-awareness and alignment through a life coach. Person doesn't like to call himself that, but that's the closest thing I can compare it to. Not a typical therapist, but a life coach. And so I got really interested in it for myself, and I was doing mentorship and panels and so forth through my career. And that's something that I started to do on the side with one-on-one clients. And I said years ago that I always wanted to create a platform for women, for empowering women, really giving self-confidence, life skills, and just a community for each other. I think sometimes there's this facade of, like, I'm sure you've seen the meme online where they say, like, it's always great when girls are drunk in a bathroom because that's when everyone's each other's best friends. But when we're not drunk in a bathroom, it's like, oh, am I allowed to talk to her? Is she going to be nice? Is she not going to be nice? Am I competitive against her? And I really want to break that barrier down and understand that we all have the same fears. We all have the same anxieties. We all go through the same things. Even if we have different goals, we all do have goals and dreams and things that we're aspiring to do. And we're so much more similar than we are alike. And so as I'm making this leap to Paris, literally in December, I was like, okay, I'm going to make this an actual business. I'd been doing it kind of piecemeal, nothing really the same. I didn't have the name, The Bravo Life. I didn't know what it was going to be. I'd just been kind of doing it as a side hobby project. And my friends were like, what are you doing? Like, you need to actually make this a business. Mm-hmm. So I did. I got incorporated. This is all simultaneously with trying to move to Paris. I got, and again, because I did brand marketing, everyone would be like, well, you've been making these other companies successful. Why can't you do that for yourself? And I was like, you know what? You're right. So I invested the time and energy and commitment that I'd been doing in my full-time job into my business. And very quickly, it started to take off. Am I a millionaire? No, but it's definitely something that has allowed me to move to Paris sooner than I was going to. I also had a goal number in mind to save before I moved. And when I quit early, I was like, I don't think I'm going to make that number. And again, I say this again, universe, God, whatever you want to refer to it as, steps in once you make that first step. Literally the day that I left, I had one final deposit in my account from, it was my last paycheck, and I hit that number just over by 2 cents.
Oh
literally.
My God. Stop. See, this is, sometimes we don't even know where a number comes from, a date comes from, but we set it. And sometimes when you set it and forget it, and then you get closer to that date, it just happens and it works and it shows up that way.
Yeah, I mean, I completely forgot about it. I happened to check my bank account and it was literally 2 pennies over the amount that I'd written down 6 months prior, not knowing that I was going to quit my job early or have to move early or what I was going to do. So I hit the gold number to where I would at least feel comfortable. It's also, you know, a lot cheaper to live in Europe. So I was able to kind of adjust my lifestyle. And for me, it's a balance of, in America, yes, I ate out at fancy dinners. I drove a luxury car. Can I do that every day here? No. But I'm so much happier just in the environment. I'm more creative. I'm more productive. I have a great circle of friends already. I'm really my best self where I am right now. And that's how you know that's where you're supposed to be. So for me, I really value experiences over money. Money's great. And we all want to make money. But if I have to kind of make a sacrifice temporarily over the next year to 2 years as I'm trying to grow this business, I'm totally fine with that.
Mm-hmm. Have you found then the transition, when I talk to some people who have left this intense corporate environment experience where it was always go, 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 and now you find yourself in this environment of a little bit more relaxed flow, what's it been like for you? Has it been hard? Has it been an easy adjustment? What type of dialogue and story plays out in your mind?
Yeah. So before I moved, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, what do you do when you don't have like a job, like an everyday have to go to an office or be on a conference call? And I was like, I think like it'll be fun for like 2 weeks. I'll eat croissants. I'll buy a baguette every day. Oh, but then what?
Yes.
You can't do that for the rest of my life. So then what am I going to do? But surprisingly, it's really what I needed. My brain had not shut off in a decade of working. I had not taken a vacation that I didn't work on. So even when I took my PTO and went on vacation with friends, I had my laptop on a beach. I was on a conference call putting out a fire at midnight. I snuck out of the bar while my friends were having a good time to respond to the fire drill email, because you know everything's an emergency. So I hadn't turned my brain off. So it's been great. And I'm actually like, I don't think I could ever go back to that world, because now I set my schedule. Obviously, you have to be more accountable for yourself when it's you that's got to work to make the money for yourself. But it's great. I set my schedule. I decide when I'm going to work, what I'm going to work on, what I don't want to work on. And I have a lot more time to just be. You know, I was seeing all these amazing places. I would go on, I threw a wine festival in Napa Valley once, and I had my mom come up with me. And she said, we had a driver take us around. Again, great, unlimited expense discount. And she said, we've been here 5 days and we've been looking at these amazing views, amazing properties and resorts. You haven't looked out of the window once. You've been glued to your phone. And that's really how I lived my life. So even though I was going to all these amazing places, I didn't see them. I didn't experience them. Now, when I'm in Paris, like, people joke with me. They're like, you walk so lightly. I'm just like skipping around the streets. I'm happy. Like, I'm truly in the moment. And that's something I think I was missing, being so tapped into the 80-hour work week. And if I'm not busy and stressed, that means I'm not doing a good job. And that is absolutely absurd. And thankfully, the French have got that mindset down. I mean, on Sundays, things shut down in Paris. in Spain, they take a 2-hour siesta. I have a friend that works in Spain, and at 3 p.m., the whole office goes home and takes a nap for 2 hours.
That's incredible.
And they come back at 5 and work for like an hour, have a cocktail, and then they go home. It's just like the work-life balance. You know, work is great. We all want something that fulfills us professionally, but there's also got to be time for you to shut off, to meditate, to read, to talk with friends, to have a coffee, to look out a window, to just be in the world.
Mm-hmm. And to decompress and not to, I mean, go, go, go all the time. And even I struggle with that back and forth. And it's different now, even when I was an independent contractor. And I was telling my husband this, that as an independent contractor, I show up on client site, I work the 4 days, I get on a plane, I come home, and I don't think about work on the weekends because I only work when I show up and I'm physically on site. And so when I'd go on vacations, it would be easy for me to unplug because I knew that I had work in front of me, and there wasn't this ongoing background. But it's different with the business now with She Did It Her Way, because She Did It Her Way is always living and breathing. And so I find myself in this new arena of, okay, going on vacations is a bit different than it was in there. But all that to say is getting used to and navigating the waters of a newfound environment and knowing that it's important to create space so that we can actually decompress, find creativity, find a different flow working 80 hours a week as an entrepreneur doesn't necessarily translate into higher revenues. And it's, it's about like talking about being in alignment and doing things of meditation. I would talk to us a little bit about, I mean, let's say I'm sure there's listeners that are tuning in that have thought about doing what you did. And the first question that might come to mind is, okay, how do you live in a foreign country and work and make money? How does that, I mean, are you incorporated in the States? Do you have to go back to the States every so often? What is that? How does that work?
So I have a little bit of a unique situation because I have dual citizenship. I was born in London.
Yes.
So I am a Brit.
Nice.
Pre-Brexit, I'm okay to be in Paris and not have a job there. But there's so many expats there that I've met. And yes, it's a little complicated, but it's doable. I mean, I know tons of expats there and we all kind of support each other. I think the biggest thing is we've got to pay double tax, and that's not always fun because you've got to pay American taxes. You've got to pay European taxes, which are very expensive, but they give you a lot for that. And then, yes, I'm incorporated in the States. I work for an American company, and I also do some freelance projects for other American clients. But I do have to, because I'm doing the work physically in France or in Europe, I have to pay taxes here as well. That being said, I also have friends who work for companies in Paris and don't speak French. They only speak English in their jobs because there's international companies and they just have, you know, a Paris office. I have friends that work for Twitter in Paris, friends that work for BuzzFeed in Paris. So it's definitely doable. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of what your industry is. And then, of course, you know, there's things like nannying or waitressing, just depending on what you're looking for. But in terms of owning your own business, you can definitely do it. It's a little more complicated to have your business set up in Paris if you want a French business. That you just have to go through a French attorney. But if you have an American business, as long as you are paying your taxes and abiding by both laws, it's totally doable.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that too. It's always interesting to hear how people make it work. I know one of my girlfriends moved to Italy and her boyfriend's there, and they were trying to figure out, okay, how do we make this work? And for her, they found, she now takes Italian lessons. So she's enrolled in school and takes Italian lessons, but also runs her business as she's doing that as well. So there's definite ways to get crafty with that.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is amazing. So tell us about a failure that you experienced that later set you up for success.
Yeah. Let's see which one we're going to go with. I would say I'm going to go back kind of far. I think I mentioned I graduated college a year early, actually graduated high school a year early. That's partly because I was born in London, so I started on different school systems. So when I came to America, I was moved up a grade. And I always had this pressure of like being the straight A student that I really put on myself. It wasn't my parents, it was me. I was one of those kids. and so in high school, I had colleges writing me letters to come and do interviews. So I like great colleges, Harvard, Columbia, I had interviews with all of them. And I was like, oh, I'm going to, I was 16, so I didn't really get what it meant to mean to go to Harvard, but I knew everyone else was really excited. So I was like, I guess this is a good thing that they are reaching out to me proactively. And I got an interview with them. And so I just assumed that I was going to go to some Ivy League school. That did not happen. I did not get accepted to any of the schools that interviewed me that were Ivy League. I did get accepted to a state school with a full scholarship. But in my eyes, that was a complete failure. I was devastated. I cried for like a month. I thought, I'm horrible. My career is over. I'll never have that glamorous Hills job.
Oh, my God.
Anything. And thankfully, I was completely wrong. I did end up, I actually didn't accept it initially because I was so devastated. So I took a year and I just worked full time. I was still only, I think I had turned 17 at the time. So I worked full time, took some classes at a community college so I would stay up to date with credits. And then a year later, I was like, hey, I'm going to accept it. I'm going to go and just make the best of it. And I went and had an amazing 4 years. And that network of people actually is the reason that I was able to get the job in New York that was the catalyst for my career for a decade. So I'm so thankful that it did go that way. While I'm sure, you know, Harvard is an amazing school, I think we also put this pressure. I talked to a lot of women and young girls in their late teens, early 20s, who have this idea that what college you go to or what major you pick in college decides. Mm. And while I probably shouldn't say this, it really doesn't matter.
No, I'm with you.
It's what you do with yourself after college that matters, and during college, the things that your extracurriculars, your internships, et cetera. But there's so much pressure to what am I going to choose to be for the rest of my life? Or if I choose this major, this is the only thing that I can do. And that's so not true. I mean, I've got friends that studied physical therapy who are lawyers now. It's just, you can be whatever it is that you want to be and do whatever you want to do. And I wish that at that time when I was so devastated, I mean, I thought my world was over in my 16, 17 year old head because I didn't get into a prestigious school and I was going to have that mark on my resume for the rest of my life and no company would ever hire me, that I was never going to make it. And obviously that was not the case, thankfully.
Yeah.
I think it's just that idea that what we just... even beyond school, just whatever we decide today, yes, there are consequences to that, but that doesn't have to be everlasting. You can always make pivots and turns and redos and restarts and create your own kind of puzzle of life without this idea that what I choose today is this defining moment for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, I mean, taking that and applying it to even right now and what we're doing is it's whatever story that we want to create for ourselves and the story that we're living. And we just need to change the narrative and change the way that that experience happened. And we can do that with anything and any part of our life. And yeah, I really appreciate you sharing that. So based on now you are in the early stages, what have you learned? What would be three actionable items you'd recommend to any new business owner when they're starting out and they're getting ready to take the leap?
Yeah, I would say one, define, obviously every business is different, but who are you talking to? Who is that person? And I think a lot of times as business owners, we get scared of being too specific. I think you've got to get very specific. Like for myself, I wrote three people up. So I had three stories about, this is Jane. How old is she? What school does she go to? Where does she grow up? What does she like to read? Who does she follow on Instagram? Et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I think that is really important, especially coming from a marketing background, just knowing who you're talking to, because when you try to talk to everyone, you're going to get no one, as I'm sure you know, as your own running your own business. Yeah. And I think it's really important to just define it from the beginning. You can always expand. It's a little harder to bring that net in once you cast it so wide. So I think that for me is definitely number one. Number two is, what's your end goal? Otherwise, you're kind of just wandering aimlessly. Obviously, again, that is something that's probably going to evolve as you grow and learn and make mistakes and have wins. But having an end goal in mind of, okay, where do I want to be in 3 years, in 5 years? What does this look like? I think that is really important as well, so that you're not just, when you're deciding, oh, does this make sense to partner with this, or is this a good business opportunity, you have that end goal in mind. And number three, I would say, is really get savvy on social, because that is where we are as a world.
Mm-hmm. That social media is definitely important.
Yeah.
Yes, I love it. Amazing. Well, Natanya, we are coming up and wrapping up. I have a rapid fire round. So these are meant to be really quick and fast. So whatever comes to mind. And so the first question I have for you is, what is a software tool that you cannot live without?
It does Instagram count?
Sure. We will take that. What is something in your life that is a non-negotiable?
The beach and the sun.
What is a quote that you live by?
Live your best life as your best self. And that second part is so important.
Live your best life as your best self. Show up every day. Do you know who says that? Who said that?
No.
Ooh, I was just curious.
Okay. Oh, I thought you knew. I was like,
No. But I like it. What is the best $100 or less purchase someone can make in their business?
I would say probably that's hard because I've made a few that I regret.
Oh, well, share though. I mean, if you wouldn't mind sharing those, because then that would still be a learning lesson.
Yeah. I think when I first started, I had this idea that I had to have every single, back-end program for my website in terms of like themes and plugins. And then I signed up for like multiple email servers because I didn't know which one was best. So actually, that reminds me, I would say having a subscription to one email server, because I think you need an email list. So that is something that can be done for under $100.
Yes, I love it. Email marketing is the best. Awesome. Yes. Anything else that you want to share with my listeners that we haven't touched on yet?
No, this has been great.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm really excited for my listeners to tune in. Can you share with them, us now, where they can find out more information about you and connect with you?
Yeah, it's at The Bravo Life on Instagram or thebravolife.com.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast episode. For more information, check out shedidherway.com. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would love for you to leave me a review on iTunes and let me know what you think. Until next time, keep doing it your way.